All right. Good morning. Apparently, we've got some internet issues this morning. Definitely Russia disinformation. It's Russia, Russia, Russia all over again. Pass me the hat.
We're being hacked, like Hillary's server.
I've brought in the great Jonathan Witt this morning. And don't get excited if you're a Trump fan, because it's not fucking in the bag yet. And if you're a Harris fan, also don't get excited, because it's definitely not going to be cheatable like the last, 4 years? 4 years ago when Biden suddenly won in the morning after we went to sleep in the night. So Jonathan Witt is here, of course. He has been an outrageously outspoken commentator on American politics for the longest time. He's someone who I think is very well informed about what's going on over there. He's been, like I am, obsessed with this election. And somebody said in the comments just now, the reason that we weren't on at 6 o'clock was because I've cancelled the show because I want to sit at home with my four screens and watch the results come in. And trust me, I woke up at like 4:30 this morning. And I started, obviously, it's very early results now, so there's not that much to get excited about yet. And, I mean, I just get into the vibe of this. It doesn't even matter to me necessarily who wins. Mm. I obviously have been very vocal about the fact that I think Kamala Harris is a terrible, terrible candidate. She'll be a terrible president. And that I'd prefer Donald Trump. And I love the team that he's assembled around him, as we've spoken about for the last, I don't know, 6 weeks. I mean, I just can't wait for him to say to Bobby Kennedy and to Vivek and to Elon and to Tulsi Gabbard. And Ron Paul, who's now...
Ron Paul out and endorsed him.
I mean, if he just says to them, okay, just go, just clean out the bureaucracy. I mean, those guys are super efficient, right? There isn't going to be
Elon fired 80% of the staff at Twitter.
Yeah.
And Twitter works better than it ever did.
It's phenomenal. So, I mean, imagine if they can get their government for the first time ever down instead of up, because it just keeps, it's like a cancer.
That's the problem with government.
It just metastasizes.
It never, ever shrinks.
So you know about cancer as well. So this is something, it just grows and grows, and a government is like a cancer.
Yeah.
I also wonder what the most interesting takeaways from this election are going to be, because people are always talking about battleground states. I saw this morning Ted Cruz from Texas announced his victory.
Yeah.
And thanked the Democrat who ran against him, a guy called Allred.
Yeah.
And apparently, I mean, we were told Ted Cruz is on his way out. So I think he's probably...
Well, there were a couple of predictions that were never going to come true. Ted Cruz, Texas, there was a poll over the weekend, which is usually reliable. Ann Seltzer.
Hang on. Yeah. She's the one who called Iowa.
Yes, she said... That Harris would win Iowa by, I think, +3, bearing in mind that Trump was up in Iowa 8 to 10 points for the past 6 months, and has never lost Iowa. It's a Republican state.
Yeah.
It's never going to vote for Kamala.
And old Ann Seltzer's now looking a bit stupid. But then, by the way, I just want to say at this point, we must take down the names of all these pollsters. No, seriously. Because these people have been lording it over the media for the last 6 months, maybe more, telling us exactly what they think. And most of them have been so 50-50 on everything that they haven't provided any intel whatsoever. In other words, because they were burnt in 2016.
Well, did you see what Nate Silver did?
What did he do?
He's from 538. Or
yeah,
he's not from 538.
Silver,
he's not from 538 anymore. But
yeah. He's got his own poll now.
But he, he sat on, he sort of... Up to the elections, he was like, oh, it's looking like Trump 51. It's looking like Harris 51, that kind of thing. And then...
Because their whole reputation rests on this.
Yesterday, he releases a thing going, oh, we ran a simulation 80,000 times or something, and Harris won 40,013 times.
Oh,
so
please.
We're giving it to Harris. So basically what he said is, I ran a coin flip. Mm-hmm. And
because that's exactly what you
that's
do.
Exactly what you would get with a coin flip. So, what value does that add to?
No, I think AI's got a better track record at this point than any of these people, and even AI can't tell you what's going on right now. No, I
too complex. It's complex systems, right?
Too close to call. I mean, the first time they used that in my living memory, and let's just cast our minds
Bush.
Back. Bush Gore, right? And the Chads in Florida.
The hanging Chads.
That's right.
The reason why they have electronic voting, which is just a terrible idea.
Disaster. Yeah. Even Trump said in his final speech yesterday, because I'm such an election nerd. And by the way, I don't want to hear from you in the comments if you don't give a shit. Then just find something else for today. I really could give a shit. Going to find
Guys,
something else
it's
to
It's important
listen to.
We're avoiding World War III. So, you know,
Carl says,
that.
Has there been a full week without fuck-ups since James started? It's vicious. Okay, here we go. I would have been so fired at this stage, says Mo Rabin. I'm not sure why. James is doing his job. Ever since he started, he's been taking over. I think he is Kamala's agent, says Sugar Shabalala. Do you work for Kamala Harris, James? Okay, he does. And James is actually very sad that Kamala is not doing so well in the early results. He's a big Kamala fan, you know?
Should have voted, James. Could have just gone to any state without ID.
In fact, I think both...
And you could have voted.
Both James and Flex are both Kamala Harris supporters. You know, this show is very balanced. If I'm a Trump supporter, we have to have producers who are Kamala supporters.
There we go. Absolutely. They want to be unemployed. And
no, but they also, I mean...
Also
Kamala
drafted into a war.
Kamala doesn't really care about competence or merit, which is why they're not... why they like her, you know?
That's great.
She's always got their back. Don't worry. It doesn't matter how bad you are at your job. We'll still keep you there.
Kamala.
Okay.
Where does she go if she loses?
No, you will never hear from her again. She will be memory-holed faster than a Kleenex tissue after you've blown your nose. You will never, ever
Given
hear...
Given the start of her career, that's an interesting reference.
The Kleenex. No, I didn't say Willie Brown, okay? Kamala Harris will be forgotten by tomorrow 12 o'clock if she loses. I mean that. You will never hear... She may give a concession
don't
speech.
Don't be so sure. I think they might try the 25th Joe and still make her president.
Let's throw her in. And like,
time.
We still won.
For a period of time. Well, like, she's still the first black president.
Can I tell you something?
Female.
America,
black president.
Everybody goes, oh, well, the American presidential election, including me, it's a very important thing. It sets the agenda for the world for the next 4 years, right?
Yeah.
But the current incumbent president of the United States is a houseplant. He's a garden vegetable. He is probably lying on a beach.
So it's very...
Delaware.
It's very concerning, but also somewhat reassuring that the entire world is on autopilot.
Right,
and
exactly.
Things are roughly okay.
It's still okay.
It's a fair libertarian argument against any kind of government.
It's exactly right. Like when I worked at the SABC and they had constant changes of CEOs, and then there was a board and there wasn't a board, and we still had a show every morning, it proves the point that actually some of these hierarchies that we build are unnecessary.
Absolutely.
And I know that there are going to be very, very angry people no matter who wins this election in America. I can't help thinking, and maybe I'm biased about this. I'd be happy for anyone in the comments to correct me if they disagree. But, you know, if Trump doesn't win, like I'm not going to fall in a heap. My life will carry on. I mean, I'll be fine. I'm not going to scream on the street.
Yeah, but you talk about angry people, right?
Yeah.
So the reality is obviously everyone loves to refer to January 6th and then go, Republicans. Yeah, exactly. There was a small riot.
Someone shat on Nancy Pelosi's desk.
Then they opened the doors and let people have a look around the Capitol. Yeah. And then they arrested all those people. And shame, some poor girl got shot. But
But let's be clear also, that girl was a protester.
Absolutely.
And the policeman who died... I think there were three in the end. Two of them died long after.
One died the next day from a stroke.
Yeah, but the guy who died on the day apparently...
No policeman died on the day.
Okay, well, I heard that one of them was a suicide. It wasn't a result of the actual protest. It wasn't like a protester shot a policeman.
Absolutely. There was no direct deaths. The only death on January 6th was a protest. But
anyway,
this is the thing.
Like I say to people, you've got to move on from January 6th.
You do have to move. But this is the point, right? From January 20th, 2020, where is the anger and the violence from Republicans? They went, okay, we really don't like Joe Biden.
Yeah.
We aren't happy about the result, but it is what it is. We don't. Many of them, in fact, the majority, don't believe it was a fair election, but they moved on, right? And they got on with it. No cities burned down.
Joe Biden's been
Nothing happened.
For 4 years.
D.C. is currently boarded up.
Yeah.
So the entire downtown area of D.C. where you normally would walk and buy a burger at McDonald's and walk into Gap and get a sweatshirt or whatever, it's all boarded up. Because D.C. is a deeply blue city. There are no Republicans there.
92% for Kamala as we speak.
Yeah. So the thing is what riot are you scared of? Who's going to riot? It's not the Republicans. It's going to be the Democrats.
Well,
so the anger, you know, the anger doesn't go both ways, frankly. And it wasn't the Republicans who burnt down Minneapolis. So These are just, you know, facts. While Tim Walter's wife sat on her stoop and smelt the burning rubber.
Yeah, she liked that. She said liked it smelled like revolution.
Exactly.
Yeah, Tim Walter's wife. She enjoyed that.
As long as it's
Tampon
the
Reverend Tim's wife.
Tampon Tim.
Give him his
that dues. That is the best name he's ever given anyone.
Tampon Tim. Tampon Tim.
Just perfect.
It's great.
Absolutely perfect.
And he has made absolutely zero impact in this election.
Well, I mean, are you surprised?
I mean, no, but I think, I mean, Kamala did admit that she was pretty tired and she said she wasn't really thinking when, I mean, she actually admitted this in one of the interviews, the few interviews that she gave, that she didn't really apply her mind properly when she nominated him as VP. And you can tell.
But
I don't think he even knows.
Don't you think that's an excuse? Does she apply her mind to anything?
I don't know. She really didn't get that people were looking for something authentic. Apparently she was on her phone pretending to be speaking to a voter yesterday. And then someone saw her phone as she turned it and she was on camera mode.
Yeah.
So she was taking a
phone. It's possible she was still on the phone.
Yeah. But, you know, this would be typical because for
her
entire campaign has been performative from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are just sick of that. You know, she has to be so scripted. She has to be so controlled. Ins, outs, everything is like it's plotted to the nth degree. Whereas you give Donald Trump a microphone, put a camera in front of him, and he can carry on for 4 hours.
Yeah. Well, he's proven that. And I think.
And bore everyone to death, but he can still.
If they were
going
to be honest in analyzing, I mean, let's see. The results are not in yet. And no. I think a lot of people, certainly on the Trump side, are very positive at this stage. And MSNBC is starting to melt down. So that's a good sign for Trump fans. The issue I have is that Arizona is not reported and none of the blue wall states are reported. So Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And if she wins Arizona and those three, which is also where there were claimed to be shenanigans last time.
Yes.
But if she wins those three, it's irrelevant. She wins the presidency. So I think, you know.
So that's what you're watching.
Yeah.
You're waiting for that.
If he wins any one of the blue states, it's over in my opinion. Because I don't think she wins the presidency if he wins Wisconsin or Pennsylvania.
And
I think Michigan's an outside shot.
What do you make of this idea that he could win the popular vote? What would that do? Because that's always been kind of
the
Democrats' final submission. It's like, but the Electoral College is a rigged system. You know, when they've lost before, this is what they've said. I remember with Hillary, she wrote a whole book on this. But I got the popular vote. No one cares, right? But what if he wins the popular vote? What if there's been that much of a swing? Because it's interesting, in the little bits that I've picked up this morning and over the last couple of days, but particularly since voting has been, these are exit polls now. The word is that young voters, particularly young minority voters, so we're talking about young Hispanic men and women, young black men and women, immigrants, legal immigrants, all voting majority for Trump. There's a big swing there in young people.
Well, the swing, so not a majority. I think Kamala will still win
a
majority.
Well, I think there are certain black neighborhoods, black counties
in Georgia, there's one
which
specifically
has swung completely. You know,
no Republican has won in 100 years.
That's the one. That's the one I heard about this morning.
I think, if I'm not mistaken.
And all the analysts are talking about, what does this mean? You know?
Yeah, I think so. The popular vote's interesting because, in my view, the problem with the popular vote in the States is because there's an electoral college, people in places like California and New York will just not vote. They'll just say, "Well, I'm not gonna vote. There's no point. California's gonna be blue, whatever happens. So me going and voting makes no difference because my senator's gonna be Adam Schiff. I mean, really." You know, Jesus. and we're always giving our electoral college votes to the Democrat president. That's been the recent criticism of Reagan, by the way, with regards to an amnesty he created for immigrants in '86, I think it was, and that's turned California blue, and it's never been anything since then. And people, you know, will talk about Arnie, but Arnold was a different kettle of fish. Firstly, he was basically a Democrat running as a Republican. And oh, you can see that today. I mean, he has sided with Democrats ever since he was governor. Mm. So he's never really been a Republican.
Well, he couldn't even find the balls to say that he'd changed his mind in this election, even though, I mean, he wrote this long, dreary essay.
Yeah, convoluted.
Yeah, it's like the world's worst monologue, all about how I can't really decide. It's very difficult. And I mean, this is a guy who used to have the personality and the ability to be one man against a million, and he wouldn't have minded.
And you think if any election where he could have changed his mind, it would have been this one, because you've got a lot of people. Yeah. You know, now it's fine to turn around and go, listen, I support Trump. I'm gonna go with Trump.
I think that's an interesting thing that's happened over the last maybe 2 years, probably even sooner than that, like a year and a half. It's become acceptable again, because what the Democrats did very well after the Joe Biden victory, in inverted commas, is they made Trump persona non grata for many people. You couldn't be publicly a supporter of Donald Trump and be in polite society.
Yeah.
Because people have said, oh, you support an election denier and all of this stuff. And I think what's happened is you've slowly started to see very prominent people say, actually, no, I'm not going to be told what the narrative is that I need to parrot. And they've made it acceptable for people down the line, who really are the sort of people who just follow the popular view anyway. They've made it okay for those people to say, I'm not going to support the Democrats anymore.
Yeah, they have done that. But I think the media is completely to blame, because the thing is for 10 years now, they've basically set up Trump as, and they've said it openly, they've set him up as Hitler. And they kept.
I thought he was, though. Didn't he have a Nazi rally like last week? I heard that he had
Madison
a Nazi
Square
rally.
Garden.
Yeah.
They've set him up, and the problem is they kept telling these narrative lies about him, and that worked for about the first 6 to 8 years, and then everyone started looking at it and saying, "Well, okay, I've looked into that particular narrative. Turns out it's a hoax." And then I went and looked at another one. Turns out it's also a hoax.
Yeah.
And so now, when they say he's Hitler, nobody believes it, because they've cried wolf too many times.
Well, you say the media, and I think we must just spend a few minutes here, because the reason I've become so much of a Donald Trump supporter, if I am so much of a Donald Trump supporter, because I really don't think about it every day, but I'm interested in American politics, have been since the Clinton era.
Mm.
In fact, possibly even when I was a little kid, and I remember seeing Ronnie, that's how old I am, Ronnie Reagan on TV. He was the first president I saw on television. But I am more interested in the media and the supposed intelligentsia being shown that they actually don't know fucking anything. This would give me the greatest joy. I am actually more interested in media people wailing and crying and gnashing their teeth and having their credibility smashed against the
rocks.
Well,
you might see that meltdown again. I mean,
Then I am about Donald Trump going to the White House. Okay. And I'll tell you why. Because I watched a little clip this morning. I think it was on Sky.
Yeah.
And Dominic Waghorn, okay.
Oh.
Right. He's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And he's interviewing people at they're staying up all night, a watch party.
Okay.
And he goes up to this couple, and the guy's wearing a big Trump hat, Make America Great Again. And the wife is, like, she's a normal, middle American mom, right?
Yeah.
He goes up to her, and he's like, well, how are you feeling? And she goes, no, I'm feeling optimistic. I think this is going to be good. Pennsylvania is a blue collar state. We are all hardworking people. Drill, baby, drill. We want our borders closed. We don't want our borders open. She said all of these things that she's been listening. She's an informed voter.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, and what do you think about female reproductive rights? And she says to this journalist from the UK, she says, listen, you don't vote for a president just because you want to have an out if you have random sex. She says, of course, we make exceptions for rape and incest and all of those things. She said, you could take the morning after pill. This is this woman, right? No, this is not my opinion. And she puts this guy in his place. She goes, frankly, if you are more interested in being able to have an abortion than you are about the economy and open borders and all of this stuff. Then you've got your priorities wrong. And she goes, and I want to tell all women. And you can see he's like, this journalist is getting very uncomfortable now. Because he's being told.
That's not the messaging that they're meant to have.
Exactly. And they've been basically ignoring people like this for, I don't know, 12, 14 years now. Yeah. And they've thought, well, we don't need to talk to these rubes. Who are these people in these stupid backward states that could vote Trump and wear red hats? They must be morons. And she turns out to be more well-informed than he is. Mm-hmm. She turns out not to be living in an echo chamber like he is. She turns out to have real, what they call in America, kitchen table issues, which she's very well-versed at. And she has strong opinions, which she's not going to back down from just because some guy with a microphone and a camera tells her she shouldn't be thinking that way. And he kind of, he turns downcast to the camera afterwards and goes, well, as you can hear, there's quite an atmosphere here of excitement and people are eating food. And now he doesn't know what else to say. So he starts talking about the environment. And then he goes back to the studio and everyone in the studio
doesn't know what
there,
to say.
And they go, well, some interesting points of view on abortion there.
Well, but that's also a false narrative, right? So this is the other problem with the entire driving point of the Democrat campaign, which has been Republican rights for women.
Yeah.
And they thought, well, it worked in 2022, so it'll work in 2024. But again, the narrative is starting to fail. So there is no threat to abortion rights for the majority of Americans.
And the loudest noises are coming from people inside states where they already have the right to have abortions pretty much up to 9 months in places like California.
And New York, sure. Yeah. But even in other states.
So why are they screeching?
Even in red states.
But why are they screeching in California? Who wants to know? What are you moaning about? That's like me complaining that I can't go and get a coffee first thing in the morning when I can get a coffee any morning.
Yeah. No, it's a non-issue. But even in states, I think they think they're saving the republic to a point because
don't you
even
think
though
they're just low level emotive people who think that this is what the average woman in America wants, and they're just trying to grab their attention and grab their vote anywhere they can. They actually think that little of women.
I mean, maybe, but I just think it's really cynical. I think it's more planned and calculated than that. You know, the Democrats. Movement doesn't just decide willy-nilly which issues to run with.
Willie Brown.
Exactly. they don't just decide like that. They're very thoughtful about this stuff, and they decide where it's going to have the most impact. And they usually pick emotive issues like abortion. So you'll seldom see a Democrat running purely on the economy.
Yeah.
Because the economy is a numbers game.
It's complicated.
Well, it's complex, you might have to do things that you wouldn't want to do that would affect your friends. So, for example, you may have to reduce taxes, actually, to improve the economy, and you may have to do some tariff things like Trump suggests, and you may have to even look at the income tax and say, why are we taxing people to death? But, you know, Democrat states don't tend to do that. Those are the states with the highest taxes, and Republican states are the ones with the lowest taxes. Places like Texas, places like Florida, and so I think the abortion thing is quite cynical. But I think people are seeing through it because at the end of the day, it's no longer a federal issue; it's become a states' rights issue, which is what it should always have been. Because Congress is only really allowed to make law with regards to anything that involves taxation.
Okay,
and the spending of that tax money, but that's essentially the constitutional limitation on them. So they can't make laws about abortion. So even if they wanted to, they couldn't pass a Roe versus Wade rule because that would probably be unconstitutional. And the Supreme Court should never have actually made that ruling. In fact, Ruth Bader Ginsburg agreed that that was shitty law. And she was an arch Democrat.
The great RBG, huh?
The RBG, yeah, exactly. who a lot of Democrats now hate, actually, because she didn't give up her seat.
She hung on too long.
Yeah, and then,
So I saw Barack Obama's last tweet last night, because I still follow him, for better or for worse.
Oh, did you see the election manipulation tweets?
Yes, we can. That was his last thing.
Oh, is that his last one?
Yes, we can. Go out and vote. And I thought, I would love to know. There are a couple of houses in America I'd like to just have a fly on the wall, bird's eye view of, right? I'd love to be in Mar-a-Lago and to watch like Trump and Melania as they announce these things as they come through. I'd like to see I don't really care about like Harris and what's his name, the Doug Emhoff, the husband. I don't really care what they're doing. I think Kamala doesn't have emotions. I think she's like a robot.
Yeah.
I would like to see what's going on in the Obama house. I'd like to see like Barack sitting there like sweating over this because he cares more about this. He's been campaigning harder for Kamala.
Which is
than
very
I think,
weird.
Than I think he did in his last election.
Because Michelle
election.
Does not like her.
Oh, she doesn't?
No, Michelle does not like her at all. And in fact, Michelle,
how do you know
to
that?
A point, because if you look at, so firstly, remember that the Obamas were the last heavyweights in the Republican Party, in the Democrat Party yeah. to endorse Kamala, yes. Kamala. And it all happened quite quickly because they did the coup on that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But the
Obamas, coup, did you say a coup?
The
is
coup,
that when, like when
absolutely.
They replaced one person
coup.
With another and there
100%.
Was no primary or anything?
Yeah, it was a complete palace coup. We still don't know what
Here's
actually happened.
Here's your candidate. Take it or leave it.
Yeah, we don't know what happened. But no. Biden releases a statement on Twitter, nowhere else, right? It's on a letterhead that is his personal letterhead, which is weird because he never uses that as the president, even for party matters. And then he signs it at the bottom. It's underlined. He's never underlined his signature
Jill
before.
Wrote, Jill signed it.
Well,
that's why.
Okay. In the letter, it says, look, I'm not endorsing anyone. I think we should go and have a process to yeah. find out who should replace me, which was what Obama wanted, by the way.
Oh, by the way, that's also what they're going to claim. If the Democrats do lose this, they'll say, oh, that's where we screwed up.
What?
They'll say, no. We should have primaried everyone again.
Yeah, they maybe. Well, but they should have
or
gone.
Or we should have stuck with Joe. Because Joe's saying we should have stuck with Joe, right?
Joe, I think, might have done better. If Kamala loses, let me tell you, there are some of these voting districts that you can already see where Trump is winning that have fully reported now. There's no doubt that Joe would have done better than Kamala has. So that's for sure.
But
remember, 45 minutes after that letter gets released, not endorsing anyone,
yeah.
then there's a tweet that comes out that says, I fully endorse Kamala.
Yeah.
And the problem is that the tweet of the letter and the endorsement don't line up because they are opposite to each other. I personally believe that the letter was forced by Pelosi and Obama and co. purposefully didn't endorse anyone because they wanted to run a process at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jill was like, screw you. If you're going to screw us, I'm going to screw you. So she put Kamala in there because she knew they didn't want Kamala. And they wanted to run a sort of democratic process and then Kamala would lose. And then they'd go, you know what? Democracy is what matters, right? Mm-hmm. And they'd send out their talking points to the networks and they'd say,
yeah, sure.
This is what you've got to follow. And in fact, Jill went to the polling station yesterday and wore all red.
Oh, interesting.
When does a Democrat president's wife wear red to the polls?
These are signals. Yeah.
And,
so why do you say Michelle
and Biden's?
So why does Michelle hate Kamala? I still don't get it.
So Michelle, I just don't think she likes Kamala. I don't think she thinks much of her, which would be a fair opinion.
Not much to think.
But if you look at campaigning, Michelle has done very little for Kamala, and in fact, last week had to be like pulled out.
Yeah.
To come to one rally where she spent a few minutes kind of saying, you know, vote for Kamala. But there hasn't been the real sort of push. You know, the Obamas weren't that nuts about Biden either, but they did more for him. And it's known that they don't like Biden very much. But there was more campaigning for Biden. I think Obama's done about the same, Barack. But yeah. Michelle has definitely been,
she's been absent.
Much more absent than you would have thought she would have been.
Do you think that celebrity endorsements mean a damn thing?
No, well, I mean, to some people, maybe they do.
Beyonce. There was a big concert that Kamala had. Lady Gaga performed. They had this whole show at her last rally. Mm. Do you think this helps? Do you think it makes any difference at all? Because celebrity endorsements, I suppose, people have always thought that must mean something.
We just don't think of celebrities in the same way anymore. They're just not as big a deal. I mean, perhaps this is an age thing, but 20 years ago, you went to the movies a lot. You looked forward to the next whatever film it was.
But there were degrees
these
of
people
there were degrees of separation.
Yeah, but they were larger than life, and it was amazing if you sort of saw them, if you were overseas and you saw them for some reason, or what they said had meaning. I think that a lot of that's gone just because of the way media has changed, but I also think that a lot of them have trashed their names. Taylor Swift is not influencing anyone, because everyone who is a Taylor Swift fan was probably going to vote for Carmela anyway. Mm. They're all young women who think that they're not going to be able to get an abortion after getting drunk one night and having, you know, wild sex. And the men in their lives are the same problem. They're young men who want their girlfriends or women they hook up with to be able to have abortions for the same reason, right? So I don't think she swings that. I don't think she harms it, but I don't think she swings it. And then, you know, in the context of what is basically P. Diddy having run a giant sex ring, human
style
trafficking operation for his entire career, which probably involves the majority of the music industry and a large portion of Hollywood, I think their credibility is hanging by a tether at this stage. And if a tape comes out,
J-Lo was crying. She's so scared that tape's going to come out.
J-Lo wants you to vote for Carmela, but couldn't tell you not to go near Diddy.
Yeah, we must trust her judgment. Okay, so there's a lot going on here, and I look at the comments, and there's people talking about Jake Paul coming out supporting Donald Trump. Nobody cares about that either.
No.
I think it's also because everyone's on social media, right? So the degrees of separation are so much less now. You can actually, you know, who cares what Jake Paul says? Oh, you know, I'm also on YouTube. That's how people feel.
Yeah.
And like, well, I've also got a YouTube channel. Who's Jake Paul?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what the numbers are, because we
absolutely
know also, we know how much of this
but
is.
But also, what's his claim to fame? Like, what has he done that's an achievement? You know, one of the great things that's happening is this realignment to actors being prostitutes and being seen correctly as prostitutes.
Which they have been throughout history.
Entertainers being seen as, like, relatively lowly individuals. Like, you're here to entertain. Like, we are the actual, like, we are society. You are coming to entertain us. And if we are happy, we will throw some pennies your way. And if we're not, you get rotten fruit, right? And that's not a bad thing that we're returning to that. Like, we should be holding people like Elon Musk up on a pedestal. And we should not be holding people like Jennifer Lopez up on a pedestal. Like, it's so obvious. But I think we spent the end of the second half and certainly the end of that century, 21st century, with those people all on a pedestal, and their time has come, and it's right, because before the invention of pretty much film, they weren't important people, and they're good for entertainment, and that's where it begins and ends.
I do think, though, that Joe Rogan had an impact, and I noticed that in the last 10 days he's had Donald Trump, Elon Musk, J.D. Vance.
Yes.
And it's not the first time Elon's been on.
But you could see him, you could see his opinion. I did a long thread on that whole interview he did with Trump. And I just summarized, I listened to it. So I ended up listening to that podcast three or four times over, because I ended up going back to sort of be able to do that. And you could actually, over the podcast, see Trump, Rogan warming to Trump. Because he clearly had an idea of who the man was in his head, who he'd been told the guy was, who he'd seen on television, etc., and in the short clips. And as he sat with this guy and spent 3 hours and realized that he's actually pretty smart, he's got insight into things, he understands how to do business and how to do deals and how to wield power, you could see Rogan changing towards him. And the first hour or so, Rogan's quite serious and there's no joking. And then as it moves on, he starts to laugh and he starts to have a good time and he starts to sort of take Trump's jokes as they're meant. And he loosens quite a lot. And you could see that happening in real time. And then remember, but before he had J.D. Vance on, he had wanted to get Carmela on. And he even said in the Trump podcast, you know, Trump had been very derogatory, obviously, of Carmela. Said she's low IQ in that podcast. He said he wants her to – Rogan said he wanted her on. And Trump
said – What did he say about Liz Cheney this week?
She's a very,
very stupid person. You know, I know that a lot of people go, oh, you shouldn't speak like that if you're a statesman. But this is part of his appeal. I wish people would stop doing this. And it's a certain kind of person. It's the same people who say to you, you shouldn't use bad language. People, real people talk like that.
Well, real powerful people talk like that as well.
Absolutely.
Sorry, but you've never been in an executive boardroom if you think that those people don't use F-bombs all the time.
Right.
You know, that's just the reality. And when you're in big business, for example, you have to speak honestly, because otherwise you're going to go out of business. Because if you don't assess the environment correctly and have a very, very native understanding of what's going on, you're not going to be able to sell.
Right, but I interrupted you. You were saying about him calling Carmel a very low IQ with Joe Rogan.
Yeah, so he did all that, and then Rogan said, "I really want her on," and he and then Trump said, "Oh, please get her on. She won't even last 10 minutes. She'll be in a coma." You know, he was, as I say, incredibly derogatory. and even beyond that, Rogan pushed back and said, and this is towards the end of the interview, once he's already warmed to Trump, and he said, "You know, I just want to have a conversation with Carmela. I don't want to catch her out. I just want to have a conversation with her. I just want people to see who she is." Which I think has been a big problem of this election, because I don't think even people who support her can tell you who she is. They can tell you who Trump is, even the people who don't like her.
I heard an interesting point of view from Ben Shapiro when he was talking to Bill Maher. He said, and in fact he had a debate with Sam Harris, which I haven't listened to, and you might have.
Pieces. I can't handle Sam anymore.
Okay, well, look at this. 2:05 to 2:30 at the moment. This is, where are you getting this one? Oh, Google, okay. All right.
The people at Google are also crying.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, keep looking at that. That's good. That's good to see. 2:05 to 2:30. Remember, the magic number is 2:70.
Just go to New York. Yeah, sorry. Carry on.
James, you know where New York is. Let's see.
On the right-hand side, top right.
This will be fun. NY. Yeah, there we go. Well done. Yeah, you were there.
Almost there.
All right, go back. There we go.
So what's interesting there is Trump won't win it, but that split is much narrowed. So I think this, if I'm not mistaken, Biden won that by 60 plus in 2020, and that's a massive swing already over there. Arizona will be interesting as well, and Nevada. Both of those are. Nevada's not many votes.
So yeah. The point I was getting to just now is Shapiro said, and I thought it was an interesting point, that there are many pro-Trump arguments from MAGA people and recent Democrat converts, the likes of, you know, Bobby Kennedy and so on. There are very many anti-Trump arguments, and some of them are quite good arguments, you know, the man's temperament, his characterization of his opponents as very low IQ and that sort of thing. The fact that he's coarse and he's egomaniacal and he's got this tendency to speak off the cuff, which upsets lots of people who prefer polite society and so on. But you could also criticize some of his policies. There are very good reasons for people to take him on about, you know, the economic policies he has, particularly with regard to tariffs, which you brought up just now.
Yeah.
I mean, Republicans are quite divided on that. But what Shapiro said is that that he hasn't heard yet a convincing pro-Kamala argument, as in she is the right candidate
because of X, Y, and Z.
I mean, she's kind of inherited a bunch of Democrat positions on things. Some of them she's flip-flopped around.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was very hard to kind of nail her down in terms of how do you feel about borders? Because she doesn't want to be associated with the Biden border policies. She emphatically denies she was ever border czar.
Yeah.
But then she's happy to take the credit for other things in the Biden administration. And when she's asked on The View, is there anything from the last 4 years that you would change? And she goes, nah, not really.
I can't think of a thing.
Yeah. So it's very difficult to form a pro-Kamala argument. And it's interesting to watch Democrats dance around this.
I think that's assuming she loses, and again, it's trending that way, but assuming she loses, that will be, if anyone's honest, that will be the real criticism of this campaign, which is that the Democrats put up a poor candidate who they did not tell anyone what she really stood for, and she is incapable of telling people what she really stands for. She seems to not know any issues really well.
Yeah.
She has these canned lines about, so the border, for example, she decided she was going to pretend like she was going to be strong on the border.
Yeah.
And her canned line is, I'm the only person in the campaign who has prosecuted transnational criminals, right? Because as Attorney General in California, there were a couple of cases that were against cartel members.
Right.
Which there's no evidence she ever prosecuted, I might add. Or had any sort of she directed, put it that way. They were sort of part of policy and what the what her DAs were doing anyway. But you know, so they canned lines, and so no one can describe what she actually stands for. And I think that's going to be a real failing. Is people can say exactly what Trump stands for, and this has been his main pitch. His main pitch has been: were you better off 4 years ago than you are today? And the reality is that most Americans are going to, if they're honest, they're going to have to say, perhaps not certain elites, but most Americans will have to say, yes, I was better off 4 years ago before inflation of, on some items, up to 40, 50% kicked in. I was better off when I wasn't worried that my young son or daughter is going to be drafted into a war. Somewhere else in the world. I was better off when we weren't sending hundreds of billions of dollars to other countries to fight their wars while we can't even afford to fund FEMA when we have a hurricane. People are going, and so Trump made an argument. Kamala didn't make an argument. And so that's perfectly fair commentary by Ben.
Lots of people enjoying your insights here, which is exactly why we brought you on, so thank you. But there is a question here from Rory Mitchell, which makes a lot of sense to me. Who would be a better option for South Africa, Trump or Kamala?
So I think Trump's going to hurt us in the beginning, if he cares. But I think he will, because...
aren't we just a shithole country, though? He doesn't really...
Yeah, but we're a shithole country that we have a go-o with, which costs them... Yeah. You know, it's in their sort of minus column, so to speak. Yeah. I'm not saying cost them a lot of money, but it's definitely a favor they do for us. That's how they view it. So we've got a goer. We're a big economy on the continent. As far as China spreading on the continent goes, we're an important piece of that because of being the tip of Africa, the ports, and also because of our military. And our general influence in the SADC region. So I think we may suffer because we've got a government that's come out in support of Hamas, that's probably taken money from Iran in order to make the case for Hamas.
Well, we know that. That's why they went to the International Criminal Court.
So, and listen, if they've got evidence, which they probably do because the CIA most likely has that data, if they've got evidence that we actually have taken money from Iran, we will become part of that enemy circle in Trump's head and in his foreign advisors' heads. And
it's important that people know that in America, the president has plenary power for all foreign affairs matters.
So, and this is actually where
he can decide on sanctions, he can decide on wars, he can decide on all these
foreign
things.
Policy is the executive branch.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that's personally why I'm very keen on having Trump back.
One of the biggest
issue is foreign policy. I thought he's, of all the things he did in his first term that are very hard to criticize. You could criticize other things, even the stuff I like, but foreign policy is very difficult to criticize. He did brilliantly in foreign policy. You know, he shut down, he killed ISIS. ISIS was meant to be a thing that couldn't be killed. He ended ISIS pretty much instantaneously. He sorted out the Iraq issue. Afghanistan, he was in the process of sorting out and pulling out, but keeping the people the Americans had installed instead of the Taliban. So the Taliban would never have gotten back into power. And then he got the Abraham Accords going, which would have ultimately, and I think still could, result in Middle East peace for a very long time. We're talking hundreds of years.
Well, if anything, Israel's victories against Hamas and Hezbollah will probably aid that.
In the end, but it may make some other things more difficult because of the complexity that's now created, which didn't exist before October 7th and everything that's followed. But, you know, we want to rename the road. It, you know,
Santon Drive.
Yeah, we want to rename the road in front of the American consulate after a terrorist.
A woman who hijacked a plane.
When Trump hears about that,
yes,
I don't think he's going to. I think if he's
going to go, it's nuanced.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I'm sure that they have their reasons.
If he's as sort of firebrand as people claim, I don't think that's going to turn out well for us.
No, he's probably going to say, well, fuck them.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think in the short term, I think, though, we're quite lucky that, you know, we've got Cyril, who is really a husk of a man and who will go any way the wind blows.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the threat from America comes and
he'll fall.
We will suddenly drop the case at the international court. We will suddenly shut up and stop wearing kafirs. Mm. And
we'll learn to suck cock again.
And the road in front of that embassy will be Santon Drive.
No, it's true.
And that will stay Santon Drive. Yeah. And that'll be the end of that. So I think in the beginning it could be a bit of pain, but hopefully sanity will prevail.
Jonathan and Gareth, it's like a Marvel crossover. It needs to happen more often, Grant D'Souza. Yeah, if you like Jonathan Witt, then I would encourage you to check out his podcast with Canton Pillay. It's called The Overton Pod, which is really worthwhile. I'm a regular listener to that, and it's terrific. They sit and break down all kinds of things. And the last episode about changing narratives I thought was fantastic. So, yeah. Good point, and I'm glad you brought that up, Grant. Cyril is a teleprompter, he says as well. Long term, I think Trump is better for us regarding mining energy, says Signet. The Dems pushing green is not good for our commodities.
Yeah, Trump's better for the world, in my opinion, and for very obvious reasons. Number one is Trump is not against fossil fuels. Fossil fuels are the reason your life is as it is. And all the nice things that exist are because of fossil fuels. Pretty much all plastics and everything in your life comes as a result of fossil fuels.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks about obviously fuel in their car and stuff like that. But energy is the way we build civilizations. And the more energy we have, the more we can do, the more prosperity we can have.
And we're a country with lots of oil and coal.
Yes. So the thing is Trump's not going to change our energy policy, but he may change the way the world views energy and the way things are done. He did change the way America viewed energy. So America under Trump the last time.
Are you still looking for nuclear stocks?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So America became a net exporter of fossil fuels. So that was that helped. And that's why the oil price dropped. So, for example, wouldn't you like cheaper fuel in your car?
Of course.
Right? And obviously that fits into food costs and everything else. But yes, then nuclear as well. I noted on Rogan, he's very much a person of that era in which you grew up hiding under a desk because of the nuclear explosion that the Russians were going to set off in your city, because the desk was going to help you, of course. And so he doesn't. The problem is there's a conflation between nuclear bombs
and nuclear energy
yeah. which are not the same thing.
Right.
But if people like Elon and smart people can get into that administration and they move towards nuclear energy, the world will be changed forever. And yes, we will be better off as a result of that. We'll be better off with global stability. If there's no war in Ukraine, we'll be better off. I mean, as you know, every time you go to the shops and there's not something on a shelf, it's because of Ukraine, right? So, of course, everything will just be available there on the shelves. You must remember this. I mean, you remember, of course, we couldn't get LCD screens. You couldn't get wiring harnesses in cars, sunflower oil. I mean, all kinds of – pretty much every item ever known to man came from Ukraine.
Yeah.
But there is some truth to some things that do come from that region, and there certainly are pressures that have been placed on that entire sector. I mean, Germany is collapsing. Germany's collapsing, and that's not good for anyone.
No.
It's been a manufacturing powerhouse.
Because Germany is the euro as well.
Germany is Europe, like it or not.
Yeah.
The reality is they built, post-World War II, they built an absolute powerhouse back into Germany. Mm. And they're very, very smart people there. There's a lot of invention, or there traditionally has been. And Germany is failing. And one of the reasons Germany is failing is because of energy.
Yeah. So I just want to stop you before we go down a whole energy discussion here, because we could. I just don't know whether it's today's election results day. I noticed South African opinions are varied as usual. You get very diverse opinions on X, because we're allowed to actually express our opinions now on X.
Yes.
And it's interesting to see how many people in this country have an absolute apoplexy every time you bring up Donald Trump, even though, again, it's like, I think he's great and I think he will win and I hope he'll win. Mm. And if he does, I'll be happy, but it's not going to change my life forever. Mm. And I'm not going to be upset if he doesn't. But there are people already screaming and tearing their hair out, especially in our media. What's that all about?
I think some people are honest interlocutors here and some people are dishonest. Mm. And I have to think that, you know, the honest interlocutors are people who genuinely believe things that are false. But if those things were true, they'd be right to think the things they think about Trump. Okay. Someone engaged me on X the other day and I went into their bio and, you know, they're a master's in international relations and they're doing a PhD, I think, at UCT or something. So clearly a smart person, you know, smart enough that they should be able to pass this information. And they came in and just with a narrative. Trump is a convicted rapist, was what they said to me. And I said, but he's not. Mm. You know, he's not. He's not a convicted rapist. Go look at what the finding was, okay? It wasn't a conviction of rape. And then if you really want to go look into that claim and that trial and that lawfare, so to speak, that woman who claimed that he felt her up in a Bergdorf Goodman
change room or whatever.
I might have said the name of the place wrong.
But, no, you're right. But that's the place.
It is the place. So she can't remember the year. She can't remember anything about the timing. She can't remember any specific details. And the story she told resembles a episode of a Law and Order Special Victims Unit almost identically. It's literally lifted out of the script. So it's very obvious what happened there. And by the way, she's not a very well woman. Like, she's made, I think, 13 claims of rape in her life against different men. So, you know, but Donald Trump is hated enough in New York for a jury to find against Donald Trump. So, you know, that's the one side of people. People are misinformed.
So,
and then the other side is,
sorry to interrupt you, Grant says here, Musk just tweeted game, set, and match. So I don't know what's happened. I'm looking at results and I'll tell you whether there's any certainty. I think he's 247 to 208 and we need to get to 270. So Trump's at 247, Harris at 208. We still see no results on the table for Minnesota, Nevada. The border states still looking red and blue, as far as I can tell. So, when I say the border, I mean the states that are still important here in terms of how many electoral college votes they bring in. That would be Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona.
I think Musk is responding to Poly Market, which is the betting markets, which are now predicting that Donald Trump, 90%. Prediction, according to the betting markets, that Donald Trump wins the election.
Oh, by the way, before we take a break, for anybody who thinks there's too much pro-Republican stuff going on here, we'll speak to my friend Debbie Droke, who's probably not having the most fun night in Washington, D.C. She's a big Democrat. She's a big fan of Kamala. She's been a big fan of Bill Clinton.
She can get her pussy hat out
Barack Obama. She can knit a new pussy hat. We'll find out just in a short while. I love you, Debbie, and I'm very, very keen to talk to her. I hope she's not crying and she's not too upset at this point. It's still not
in the
bag. If
she's anything less than what Joy Reid is currently doing on MSNBC.
What is Joy Reid doing?
No, she's melting down completely.
You see, that's another person I wish I could watch. Joy Reid, Rachel Maddow.
You'll get Rachel Maddow melting down. I mean, Rachel Maddow does a show a week for which she's paid $1 million.
Every week?
Yeah. And
of course, for her, a Trump win would be great for ratings.
Yes. So, I mean, this is the thing.
Paradoxically, the best thing that could happen for Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow
and New York Times
people,
and the Washington Post, etc.
It makes them relevant again.
Absolutely.
There's no point in them making a noise.
Hashtag
and being
resistance.
Yeah, so if you feel like Trump's an asshole, which many people do, you'll be addicted to those people for the next couple of years. Anyway, let's see what happens. We're going to speak to Debbie Droke. I've also got another friend of mine popping in from Texas later on. She's going to actually come to the studio. She's not voting in this election, but she will be in the next one. and we'll find out what she thinks. Plenty of good stuff. We want to hear your comments. Join in the conversation. If you're into American politics, then you're probably having a happy time. If you're not, I'm sorry. This is not your favorite show. You'll have to rejoin us on Friday when hopefully by then everything, the dust has settled. We've moved on. Jonathan Witt, our guest in studio today, the Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network. We're back in a moment.